The story of Henry Morrison Flagler. Flagler was born in 1830 in poverty. He was forced to shift for himself, clerked in a store, slept under the counter, and caught his education on the wing. Bold as a lion in business, sensitive and silent in personal relations, he was a born leader, pious, secretive, and a good listener. An uncanny ability to draw men out and pump them dry. Flagler once said to John D. Rockefeller,
"John, a friendship founded on business is a whole lot better than a business founded on friendship."
To Flagler, does John D. Rockefeller credit the rapid erection of the greatest monopoly that is the wonder of statisticians and economists the world over? Yet, this man was a failure at everything he tried until he was past 37. At 14, his father hired him out.
"Here's the store, my son. Mr. Howe, the proprietor, is a good Christian man. He will see that you walk in the way of the Lord. You can expect no more aid from me. You're 14 and should be self-supporting."
"I will try, Father. How much money am I to receive?"
"You'll be paid what you're worth."
"Well, I would like to know if it's enough for me to support myself."
"Read your Bible, lad. It will do you well to read it more often. What does the great teacher say? Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment?"
"I will do my best, Father."
"Is this the lad, Reverend Flagler?"
"It is, Mr. Howe. You will find him obedient and God-fearing. See that he earns what you pay him. And should it be more than you think is well for him to handle, you may send it to me. I will write you from time to time."
"He will earn every cent I pay him, I promise you that."
"That will be well. And now I must say goodbye, as I'm on my way west to preach to the heathens."
"Goodbye, Reverend. I hope the Lord is always with you."
"Thank you, Mr. Howe."
"Now, Henry, your duties will be to rise at 5:30. Sweep the store. Mr. Pettigill, the other clerk, will be here at 7:30. Then you can have your breakfast. In the winter, you will get up 1 hour earlier to have the fires started."
"Yes, sir, I understand."
"Yes. I shall pay you $5 a month in currency."
"Oh, I thank you, sir."
"And I will charge you $5 a month for your keep."
"Oh, but, sir, if I may say it, I'll pay out everything I make for my keep, and that way I won't be able to save a thing."
"Ah, want to save, eh? Good. I like to encourage thrift, and I'll help you. You can make a bed under one of the counters, and I will allow you $1 a month off for that."
That was the start of Henry's saving. He saved the dollar each month. While working in the store, he learned that there was a medium of exchange that was more valuable than money. This was salt. At 18, with a friend, he started the salt refinery. They were doing well when a rival concern decided to force them to sell. The partners were in their office talking to the agent of the salt company.
"I've told you, gentlemen, that we will invoice and pay you dollar for dollar for your plant."
"No, but that's not right, sir. We're making a profit and continue to do so if your firm will stop underselling us."
"Young man, if you don't take our offer, we will force you to the wall."
"No, but let us sell the salt we've refined, and we'll be glad to sell our plant to you. In that way, we'll have a fair return for our work."
"My dear boy, that would be impossible. It would take you a year to sell all that salt, and in the meantime, you might undersell us."
"No, but, sir, you're advancing the price of salt 300%. People won't pay it."
"They'll pay our price or go without."
"No, but your tactics are nothing less than robbery. You admit that you're going to rob the public and us, too."
"Well, looks like we'd better accept their offer, Henry."
"If only they offer us enough to pay our obligations. We'll be stony broke."
"Oh, true, but we'll be free of debt."
"Oh, it's robbery, that's what it is."
"Take it or leave it. We will undersell you until you do accept our terms. Good day."
The Ocean Salt Company forced them to sell and lose every penny they had invested in years of hard work. Flagler drifted into many lines of business until the year 1867. In that year, he joined the firm of Andrews and Rockefeller. In 1872, they changed the name to the Standard Oil Company of Ohio. Competition was very keen. Refineries were underselling each other. So in 1872, a meeting was called by the Standard Oil Company of Ohio of the four biggest competitors to meet at Cleveland. Mr. Rockefeller said,
"Gentlemen, this meeting is called to try and solve the problem now facing the oil industry. Mr. Flagler will tell you his ideas."
"Thank you, sir. Gentlemen, I will try to be as brief as possible. In the first place, we are all trying to undersell the other."
"That's right, Henry."
"Now, here is the plan. We will combine all our plants under one head that will dictate our selling policy and business conduct in general. I will suggest my partner, Mr. Rockefeller, for that place. You have in him a man of keen foresight and sound business judgment.
Would we run our plants just as usual?
Why, yes. We will form a parent company, and according to the invoice of their various plants, we will issue stock in the parent company. We will start our company with the ones gathered here today. Then I, personally, will try to induce all the independent companies to join our combine.
Splendid idea. Well then, what do you think, Tom?
Excellent. It's a great idea.
And with this idea in mind, Henry Morris and Flagler visited the small refineries. Most of them saw the advantage and joined. Some fought. Among these was the firm of Jones and Claxon, who had left the salt industry for oil.
Mr. Jones, the men I represent own most of the refineries in the country, and I am here and there in your interest.
But, Mr. Flagler, we do not care to sell. We are making a handsome profit.
Mr. Jones, the railroads are going to raise the rates on shipping. That will curtail your profits.
Not enough to matter. No, we will not sell.
And then, will you gentlemen let us handle your refined product?
What's your proposition?
Well, sir, you will join the refineries that I represent. We will take over the management of each unit and issue stock in the parent company pro ratio of the money you have invested.
That would be like giving you our business.
No, not at all. You would retain your own business, your own name.
Yes, but we would be dictated to by your firm.
By a parent firm, yes. But your profits would be greater.
This is just a scheme to rob the public, combining the refineries and then raising the price of oil.
Join our organization, gentlemen, or we'll force you to the wall.
What was that you said?
It's robbery. You're going to rob the public and rob us, too.
I am offering you a chance to save what you have accumulated. I am far more fair to you than you gentlemen were to me.
What do you mean? We've never had any dealings with you.
No, sir.
Oh, yes, you did. Many years ago. I was a partner in Brown and Flagler Salt Company, and you put us out of business without giving us a chance to save our investment. You really robbed my partner and myself of everything that we had. Now you cry when I come to you with a fair proposition. Well, gentlemen, I've changed my mind. You can't enter our organization.
Well, now, Mr.
We will audit your plant and pay you dollar for dollar.
But, sir...
We will use the practice you so ably taught me years ago.
Now, if you just...
We will undersell you until you accept our terms. Good day, sirs.
Jones and Claxon received better treatment from Henry Morris and Flagler than they had given him when they had the whip hand. During the close of the last century, Henry Morris and Flagler became greatly interested in the development of Florida. His first project was a railroad, but the settlers and squatters fought every move he made by destroying his property. His foremen were unable to cope with the situation, so Henry took a hand.
Listen to me. Listen. We've been shooting over your head so far, but I warn you, if you don't leave this property in 5 minutes, we're going to shoot to kill.
You hear me, mister. If you shoot one of us, we'll tear the whole caboodle of you limb from limb. Don't pay no attention to what's being said by this outlander, folks. Just keep ripping up the rail.
Yeah, you bet
you. Hold
on, everywhere. Look here. Look here over yonder. The outlanders are getting help from outside there. Why, there's three big wagons are coming.
Now, come on, you fellas. We'll tip them wagons over.
Sure will, man. Come on.
Come on. Come on. Get out of them wagons. We're going to tip them over and set them afire.
Wait. Who's the leader here?
I am.
Then let me talk to you for just 1 minute. And then if you're not satisfied with what I have to say, you can do as you please with these wagons.
All right, monsieur, we'll listen. Have your say.
These three wagons contain food. I brought it out here so that we all could have a big picnic. Now, there's just one question I want to ask you. Just why are you so opposed to this railroad being built?
You tell him, Pete.
Yeah. Tell him why we don't want this snorting contraption around here.
Well, old Granny Johnson said the noise the cars would scare our cows so they wouldn't give no milk. She said she'd seen it happen afore.
And just who is this Granny Johnson?
She's a wise woman. She knows everything.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do, Pete. I'll make each one of you a present of a brand new cow the day that railroad's finished. I'll replace every cow that refuses to give milk on account of that railroad.
That sounds right fine, but how do you know we'll... You'll do what you say.
Well, when I get back to the city, you can all go with me. And Pete, I'll buy the cows, turn them over to you to be delivered the day the railroad's finished. Now, is that fair enough?
That sounds fair. What do you folks say?
You're the boss, Pete. What do you say goes?
You say you had grub in them wagons?
That's right.
Got enough men to cook this stuff?
I think we have.
You start your cooking and get that yellow-eared hound that you call a boss out here to show these folks how to put them tracks back.
What are you going to do?
We're going to fix up all the stuff we wrecked for you. Am I saying right, folks?
Well, we're starting, ain't we?
And Henry Morris and Flagler had welded another link in the chain of friendship and showing again that remarkable organizing ability. It was no wonder that John D. Rockefeller picked such a man to aid him in building the great Standard Oil Company. Henry Flagler was the proprietor of some 600 miles of railroad in Florida and the Ponce de Leon and Alcazar hotels at St. Augustine. As builder and owner resident, he did much to make St. Augustine the popular winter resort that it is today. In 1911, Mr. Flagler retired from the Standard Oil Company. 2 years later, May 20th, 1913, he died, leaving an estate estimated at $60 million. Little has been written of this silent man, but he deserves a niche in the Hall of Fame, for he is one of the outstanding characters of this century. Henry Morrison Flagler, Captain of Industry.